Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
And welcome to Slamfire Radio, the show that brings you laughs and gaffes and general tomfoolery, as well as the best gun talk you will find anywhere on the internet. I'm your host, Owen Flewelling.
Wow, where did that come from? That's amazing. I like it.
It's a lot of things, but amazing is not one of the.
No. I'm going with amazing. No, that was coming from Owen. Fantastic.
Well, he is drinking after all.
Oh, well, there's your problem. Gotcha. That's great. Well, you know, I'll carry on. And I'm Matthew McClatchy.
That would make me Trevor Furlot.
And joining us this week is the one and only Jason McIntyre.
A.K.A.?
Jason McIntyre, unless you want to get stabbed.
Nobody wants to say it when he's in the room.
I'm not saying it.
I used to say it, and then one day he gave like 14 people a look of...
of death?
Yeah, somebody was going to get cut.
Right.
I've warned everyone down here, because people down here were starting to call him that. And I warned people down, I'm like, okay, guys, we can't call him that anymore.
That's good.
So, Jason, how do you feel about your nickname that you gave to Trevor, and he somehow turned around and gave back to you?
Wrong.
No?
Wrong. Okay. I gave it to him and Camille, and then they tried to put it on me, but I made it infamous on the podcast, and it's...
Oh, gotcha. So you did start it then, Trevor.
I did.
Yeah, Trevor started it.
Okay, so you can feel free to stab him then. That's fine.
Again.
Again, yes. Stab wound, you mean this pocket?
Yeah. So, yes, we have Jason McIntyre from the Rescue Gun Club with us, Chief Range Officer, actually, for the Rescue Gun Club, newly... trained RO and kind of quasi helping out with our black badge tomorrow night as well, kind of acting as a translator.
A translator?
Yeah, we have quite a few francophones in our classroom tomorrow night, and so Jason's working closely with one of them.
Oh, okay. Their English is just a little bit not where it needs to be for...
Well, you speak so fast, Matthew, that I can't even understand you half the time. So,
all right, I will slow things down then, and let's talk about what we did with guns.
Awesome.
So, Jason, why don't you go first?
This week with guns, the only thing I did was Wednesday night, I went to shoot with Trevor a handgun.
Well, what about Monday morning? Weren't you working with us?
Oh, yeah, it's true. I was working at the range Monday morning, yeah.
Yeah.
But that counts.
Guns.
No, but, you know, we're working at the range.
Yeah, it's true.
A couple of times a week, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, basically, that's it.
So, what were you doing at the range when you were working there?
We covered the firing point for the kids.
Okay.
That's all sheeted in now in 20 with plywood.
Yep.
Oh, on the back and everything.
And the front.
And the front.
Oh, very cool.
Except for where you shoot. That we left.
Well, clearly. How do you see the target? I don't know, but I hit it every time.
Use the force, Luke.
And very nice.
The black badge stages were all built as well. Or was that done the day before? No, it was done on Monday, yeah.
That's all right. It was still done.
Out there, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then we did some shoe stink. It was like a big lock party, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Except for one gun.
Except for one.
Yeah. Officer Frank.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Well, I suppose he had his Smith & Wesson on him.
He did, yeah.
What is it, like the 96-72 or something silly like that?
Who even cares? It's a Smith.
Yeah, it's a Smith & Wesson. Their numbering system really irritates me. That's one main reason I'd never bought any of them. Couldn't figure out their numbering system.
Yeah, because Glocks is so logical.
It is, no. And it started with the first patent, and it went from there. You did that on purpose. Why? It's really for gold buttons. Matthew, what did you do with guns?
I did pretty much the exact same thing as Owen, but since Owen hasn't spoken yet, I guess I'll have to fill
you ahead.
In.
I just wrote it down just to make fun of you. You go ahead.
range day with Owen and David, which I kind of touched on last week, I think. I said that we were going to go, and well, we did. So we ran some ARs and some sidearms and did some fun stuff. I won't get into too much detail because it was basically just us at the range running our rifles and pistols, which is, you know, kind of boring to talk about, but you should have been there. It was awesome.
I heard you ran them hard.
We did run them hard, yeah. Put
How
them
many
away
rounds did you guys go through? Like, total up, the three of you, what do you think?
A good 10 or 15. Yeah. A good, at least.
Well, David wasn't running an AR. He doesn't have one yet, though he is in the market. So he was running a 22, semi-automatic 22. So.
It was kind of funny. Bang, 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 pew, 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 bang, 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 pew, 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 bang.
Hey, Jay, remember when you used to have a semi-automatic 22?
Yeah, I remember when you used to have one.
Too soon? Too soon. I'm sorry, too soon. Carry on. That'll be funny later if you don't know who or what Jason's all about right now.
Yeah, it'll be funny in a minute. Other than that, was there anything else you wanted to talk about at the range there, Owen?
No, I don't think so. We just did a bunch of stuff. We did some drills and some little longer range shooting than we normally would do with an IPSC, and that was kind of fun to see that you actually can hit that target, you know, at mm-hmm. long ranges.
So you're talking with pistol, Owen?
With pistol, yeah. At the Florenceville range, there's one shooting lane out to 50 yards that we're allowed to use.
Yep.
And so at 50 yards, we did some shooting, and we were able to keep the majority of our hits. In the target, they were all on paper, but they were actually in the target. And then at 25 yards, I think Owen, all of us kept everything on, like, in center of mass. Did we not?
So, oh yeah, center of mass or headshots, no problem. Yeah. Once you've shot at 50, at 25 it's like, ah, this is easy.
Yeah.
once you've shot out, that's I learned a lot that day just from that. I am now, when I go to the range, going to start my day shooting at 50.
Matt Burkett talks about starting your training session at 25 and ending at 25 and shooting for groups and fire, focus on the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. So you start with a focus on the fundamentals, go through the rest of your drills, and you leave with a hard focus on the fundamentals.
And you have to at that distance. That's the thing. It forces you. You cannot. I'm a big believer in point shooting. You cannot point shoot at that distance.
No, it's not possible. I mean, there's a time for point shooting and there's a time for aimed fire. And most of the time it's aimed fire unless you're like 3 feet away from the target.
Yeah. And Owen, if it's not just about aim fire at that distance, but if you leave and the last thing you do that day is a hard focus on fundamentals and aimed fire, that's the last thing that your body and your mind remember.
Yes, exactly.
So helps with that, you know, reinforcing the fundamentals.
Yep. That was pretty much all I did with guns, aside from just kind of playing with them here at home. It was kind of a wet week here, so we didn't really get out to the range at all here. So that's pretty much it. This weekend, teaching a black badge course in Dalhousie with the rest of you guys. But that pretty much wraps me up. So let's move right into Owen. What'd you do, man?
Well, you covered the stuff, the actual shooting I did, because I didn't do anything all week. One, the weather. Two, work's been really busy. So that pretty much kept me at home evenings and things like that. So, yeah, that's about it, I guess. I'll be teaching this black badge with you guys on Friday, Saturday. Looking forward to that. And the only other thing, I got a new range bag, which I'm anxious to try out this weekend. So,
oh, cool. What'd you get?
It's made by Midway USA.
Trevor,
Oh, Chaz, I hope you're listening. I mean, the unnamed trucker.
Right.
It's made by Midway USA, and it is. I don't know if you guys remember David's bag, but it's the same one he has. And
oh, that's a nice
three
one.
Bags, actually.
I actually made a point of forgetting about David's bag.
Okay. Well, I like his because it has actually room for everything, as well as lots of pockets, and the front flap flips down, and there's a place for like 10 pistol mags in there. And there's another smaller bag that comes out of the center that I'll use for carrying from stage to stage and put my ammo and extra mags in it, speed loader and stuff.
and has slots on the sides for file, you know, for your paperwork, like a padded file folder that zips up so you can keep it clean and separate from all the dirt and dust that gets in bags when you're at the range. And it came with a little brass bag that has like a mesh bottom so you can shake the dirt out or the snow in the winter or what have you. And it's great. What I had before worked okay, just wasn't fabulous. So getting this year, actually getting organized and having room for everything instead of just piling it all into one compartment, it's going to make a big difference.
So what's the name of said bag and where can I get one and how much does it cost?
It was a Midway USA bag. It's their bag.
Oh, okay.
Midway, Midway USA, right on the side of it. And I think it was on sale, so shipped and duty at the border and all that sort of stuff. I think it was $70.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
It's not bad. It's nylon. It seems like fairly heavy duty. It's it's a pretty big bag. Yeah. I don't know, it would be maybe 2 feet long by foot and a half wide once you get all the pouches that hang off the side of it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I can fit my pistol case that I transport my pistol inside of it and zip it up.
Very good. Trouble. Very nice.
So
cool. Well, I guess that brings us to Trevor.
Hello.
Hello. Are you still with us, Trevor?
Yeah.
Do you have a nap?
I'm doing a side conversation thing here.
Yeah, you do that. I knew you were because you were quiet.
I was talking about David's bag. Or his new range bag or something. I don't know. So I lost it.
Right. Okay, so what did you do with guns this week?
And while you're talking, Trevor, I'm just going to go, you know, make supper or something.
No,
dude, yeah, I'm going to wander off.
Alright. So, as I said I would do, I took some old high school friends to the range on Saturday morning for a little zombie shoot. Interestingly enough, only girls showed up, which was really cool. And one of the girls who showed up actually was, I'll call him friend of the show, Paul Furlott, the one who spells his name incorrectly with the I, mm-hmm. award-winning barbecue chef. You know, he's got the Daniel defense he's always bragging about. Anyway, so Paul Furlott's sister showed up, and Paul drives a crotch rocket. She drives a Harley. You know? and she can outshoot him, so she's got a cooler bike, and she's a better shot. So it was pretty cool. And then I had somebody else out there who has limited experience, doesn't own any firearms, but has shot off and on throughout the years with friends and stuff. So it was pretty cool. And special thanks to Pierre-Luc. He came out to help kind of act as a range officer with me. And he had an Enfield there, a Jungle Carbine. And it was in really nice shape, and it was all original. And he got me shooting it, and I did as quickly as you can do a mag dump with a bolt action. And he tried to get a picture of me, but never happened. So there's still actually no photographic proof of me shooting anything with wood on it. Had he gotten that picture, I would have destroyed the camera. But
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Filthy's about to yell at his computer right now, going, "I got pictures of you shooting that 30 carbine."
That's an M1 carbine. That doesn't count.
It's got wood on it.
But it had a wire stock. It's not.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
I shot Pierre-Luc's M1 carbine too, which had a full wood stock, and yeah, it does make you smile every time. Other than that, more work for the Nationals. You know, putting on a Canadian National Championship's a lot of work. Just saying. And what else? Oh, planning a press conference. That's turning out to be a chore. I have no idea what I'm doing, but nobody knows that, so I'm just pretending and they're going along with it.
Yeah, that's per normal.
Yeah, yeah. And then, we did the range work that Jason and I talked about earlier. And then Saturday, yeah, Jason and Cameron and Mark Giroux and myself, we all went out. We shot some Glocks, and we shot a Tavor, which was really interesting. And there'll be some interesting video of that coming out in the near future that I'm sure everyone is really going to be interested in, and that's all I'll say for now. What else? That's it. Shall we move on to the main topic?
This would be where you say yes, Owen.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Yeah, because remember, you're the lead host this week. Remember, you started the show. Yeah, yeah. This is your show, buddy. Yeah.
You know, draw him a picture.
Feel free to take charge anytime now.
Sorry, I'm actually reading the show notes for the first time. And so I'm halfway down the page going, okay, what are we doing?
This is why we're not supposed to have show notes.
Yeah.
Mostly because Trevor can't read, but turns out Owen doesn't either.
Oh, man. That would hurt if I had feelings.
Yeah, it certainly would.
So, guys, let's Trevor, you've had enough there. Let's move on to the main topic.
I like him. You're hired. So
the main topic this week is really something that's going to be spoken a fair bit about by someone else, maybe?
Yeah, well why don't you read the first line there, and then we can have him elaborate on it.
Oh, you want me to read this verbatim, or just kind of make it up?
I think so. Well, just make just the first part. It's funny.
Oh, man, we're sinking fast.
Go, quick.
Don't be a Jason. Store your guns safely. We're going to do like a whole, you know, radio TV ad, you know, kind of like right. Smokey the Bear kind of thing. Uh-huh. But
only you can prevent your guns from being burned in a house fire. Except you, Jason. You can't do that because clearly you didn't.
That's bad. That was fun. Let's back up a second. For the listeners who don't know, last week I announced on our show that friend of the show, Jason McIntyre, lost all of his worldly possessions in a house fire. But most important of all, he lost all of his guns. With the exception of one, he did have his Glock with him in his range bag because he was...
Because you can't burn that. Inch off, okay,
yeah, can't burn this. So anyway, two seconds of seriousness, gentlemen.
All right. We're, and go.
So we mentioned last week that Jason lost all of his stuff. And so donations started to come in. Thank you to all those that are helping with the fire recovery little initiative we got going on here. Listeners of the show have sent email EMTs to me that I've then and hosts of this particular show. Thank you very much. You know who you are.
You're welcome. No problem, man. Oh, wait, that was Owen.
Yeah. So anyway, I was more than happy to hand that off to him today, Owen. So anyway, the money is coming in a little bit at a time, and it's much appreciated. So we thought, well, hey, why don't we, not necessarily to drum up more money, but to talk about how we can avoid what happened to Jason here. So we got Jason on to share his experience with us about what happened and how he's now without guns.
I still own one gun.
You still own one gun, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, tell us, Jason. I don't know, just tell us the whole story, I guess. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody that helped me out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's very appreciated.
No problem.
So, So you want to know the story of what happened?
Yeah,
what happened?
And how many firemen did it really take to keep you out of the house?
It took like four.
Four?
Yeah.
I was told it was three, but I believe four.
Anyway, there were a few. Yeah, last Monday, I got a call at work that my house was on fire. So since I do reloading, I knew I had to go home to tell the firemen that I had ammo inside the house, stored in a different location. So when I got there, the firemen were outside and the ammo was already popping. So it was like a Vietnam War inside the house. Basically, yeah. And pretty much all my reloading room burnt down.
No, the whole reloading room burnt down.
The whole reloading room, yeah. With all my stuff inside.
Anyone who's a friend of mine on Facebook can see the pictures there of the house and one of his ammo cans. It's amazing. The ammo can completely swelled and is full of little dents, but never actually opened. The lid never came off. There's only one hole in the side of the can. You open up the can, and it's nothing but burned, split open brass. Like, the temperature in that fire was so hot that not only did the lead melt, it's completely evaporated. And just a can of 2,000 pieces of split open brass. I'm sure that sounded great when it started to go off.
Yeah, probably.
The fireman said it was pretty freaked out.
Yeah, I bet.
The fireman that was there, he's a fireman instructor too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he'd never seen nothing like that yet. So I said it was a good experience for him.
Way to step it up. Way to make his day a little more bright.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, when my house burns down, you could get shot.
Yeah.
That's how I make your day more interesting. Now, I should point out that, ammunition being burned in a fire doesn't actually pose any more of a risk than just, you know, gunpowder. When it pops, the projectile doesn't really go anywhere. It's the case that does, and it has so little mass that it's very difficult to get hurt by it.
Yeah,
but that being said, it is very disconcerting to hear that stuff going off.
Yeah. I'm curious what actually ruptured the side of the can. There's probably pictures of the can on Facebook as well. It's
Bring it to the Black Badge.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be cool. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm. So run down the list. What are some of the major things that you lost? I mean, we know you lost everything, but like, what's some of the big stuff?
Well, I had like 10 rifles. I had a lower receiver for an AR-15. I had all my clothes. I had all my reloading gear, a new Dillon press, like maybe a month old. And I had two other...
I'm just going to stop you right there because I'm going to share this detail. I hope you don't mind. Jason bought the press from Salsh, and Salsh gave it to him on a payment plan.
Yep.
And so the press wasn't paid yet, and he had $600 cash in his nightstand that he was giving Salsh, and he lost the cash and the press.
No, I found it back. Actually, I found back the cash.
You found the cash?
Yeah, I went inside the house Thursday night, and I found the cash inside the house.
The cash didn't burn?
Nope.
Are you lucky?
You want to smell it?
No, no.
You want to smell it?
Cash in your pocket.
Still smells in my wallet.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I'm going to sniff Jason's cash. Oh, gosh.
Very, all you listeners, you know, thanks for, you know, experiencing this smell-a-thon with us here.
Well, that's good. That's this a ray of hope. But, two Lee presses.
Two Lee press.
Dillon press, which you no longer own but have to pay for.
Yep.
That hurts.
Yep. I had all my reloading dies for 22-250, 223, 40, 200 Magnum, 30-06.
That's right. Now, so now Toby Lee is shaking his head in Nebraska going, I sent that dumb Canadian reloading dies for nothing. He sent you a bunch of brass that you didn't get to use.
I think. By the way, thank you, Toby.
Yeah, I think Jason's in a pretty unique situation. He's a listener of a podcast who got sent stuff from a host of a podcast.
Yeah, that's usually the other way around. Exactly. How that happens. Yeah.
That's because I'm very special.
Yeah, you're special.
You certainly are.
Yeah. And we'll just leave it at that because you said
that's right
to me.
So what are some steps do you think we can take to kind of preserve our guns? And let's talk about guns specifically. I know there are other valuables that you want to preserve in a fire, but let's talk about guns specifically. What can you do to not lose them if your house burns down? Now, just as a really quick aside, have they figured out what the cause of the fire was yet, Jason?
Not yet, but the fireman said it was electrical fire.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
They're still under investigation.
Gotcha. Yep. All right, so yeah, let's go back to the question there. You know, what do we do? How can we protect our guns?
Fireproof gun safe.
Yeah,
this episode really. Brought to you by Fort Knox. No.
You can burn this, but it don't matter.
You can try to burn it.
That's funny. Yeah, no, that's true, though. I mean, I'm sure a lot of our listeners also listen to the Gun Dudes and have heard Tommy's girlish voice scream that out multiple times.
Voice isn't girlish, his hips are.
Well, kind of both. And so, yeah, Fort Knox makes fireproof gun safes, and you know they what did they do? They took one, they filled it with whatever. They dropped it through a house first off a crane, and then burnt the house down around it, and there was still nothing wrong with anything inside. So, I mean, they do make good gun safes. So if you have that much money, you know that would be a fantastic way to protect your guns. And if you have very valuable guns, then of course it's worth the investment. What I mean that's kind of the obvious answer, I guess. What do you think people can do who aren't in that situation to be able to purchase a fireproof gun safe? What's another way to kind of protect your assets?
You're like, what didn't you have that you really now wish you had?
A bunker?
No, that's for later. Oh. Starts with in and ends with insurance.
Oh, yeah, insurance on your gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Jason was renting, and this is funny. Well, it's funny to me because I have no heart, but... It's awesome. Just at his house on Friday and said, you know, Jason, it's about you've been living here for like 6 months. It's about time you get some tenants insurance. Oh, yeah, Dad. Sure, I will. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and Monday afternoon it was gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
you can't buy insurance on the weekend, though.
No.
That's true.
It's true.
So, but yeah, had you had insurance then, I guess your contents would have been covered. But do you need separate riders for firearms, do you know?
I'm not sure about that.
That depends on who you ask, Matthew. Some people, right away, people in our club started to call, and they're getting mixed information. And I think it has to do with the level of coverage they have. I checked with my policy holder, or my insurance provider, rather, and I was told that I've got their platinum package, and, you know, everything, 100% of the contents, replaceable value, not like the depreciated value, I'm supposedly covered. But they did say, and I think we have it listed here, what you should do to, so, you know, if and when there is a tragedy and you lose everything, you can expedite the process. They suggested walking around the home and videotaping everything. Not necessarily still video, still photos, but actually videotaping all the contents of your home and have it date stamped. And so, you know, you would go to your gun safe, you would videotape it, you would open it up, you would take out all of your videos.
Is that because video is a lot harder to edit in Photoshop than it is than pictures?
Didn't say. I imagine there must be something that they must get insurance fraud investigations going on. And so they probably find that it must be perhaps less likely that you'll tamper with a video than you will a photo.
Hmm.
You know, and you're seeing the entire inside of the home, all of that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Serial numbers, all that good stuff. And, you know, as things change, edit that video and then store that video somewhere else, obviously.
Off, yeah, online somewhere, preferably.
Yep.
You know, because you can access that from anywhere at that point.
Yeah, you could make that an unlisted YouTube video. You can put it, you know, if you've got a safety deposit box, you could put it on a memory card and store that video there.
Yep. Good ideas.
Yeah, that's what I was told back when I had probably more archery equipment in my house than any of the archery shops in New Brunswick. So.
Right. Now, what about something like storing your stuff in the basement? Is there less likely that it's going to be damaged if it was in the basement as opposed to second floor of your house?
Not really, because when the house burns down, a lot of it's going to fall down into the basement. If your floor on the first floor burns out.
Right. Stuff. So. And again, you've got water damage to worry about, too. Water's just going to flow down into the basement anyway, right? So that might not even be an issue. So.
Yeah, a lot of properties, water and smoke cause more damage than the actual fire does.
Right. So I guess the moral of the story here is either get a fireproof safe or get really good insurance and preferably do both, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So get good insurance, take a video, put your gun somewhere safe. All right. Well, that was a pretty quick topic. we can change gears here, though, a little bit. All four of us now are IPSC shooters, and we had, I don't know, a couple emails, I guess. You know, some people were kind of hinting at the fact they liked some more IPSC talk. What do you guys think?
I think all of the emails said more IPSC, please.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So we're going to ignore them, and we're going to talk about something completely different.
Completely different.
Yeah. I know. IPSC.
Yeah, so what about IPSC?
What about it? It's a game played with a handgun.
Yeah, very good. Jason, you're how long have you been shooting IPSC? Were you in my black badge with Trevor, or did you go the year after?
I went the year after.
He was the first one that you and I helped teach.
Yep.
The last
And that's cool.
I was at your club last year for a demo, too.
I do remember that. That was a fun day.
Yep, it was.
Yeah. Do we want to talk a little bit about... I don't know, some of your past matches, and I don't know, we haven't really heard your perspective on IPSC before. What is it about IPSC that you like? Why did you get into the sport?
The fun of shooting a handgun on a moving target. Pretty much that's it.
Basically it. Yeah.
What more important, what do you shoot? What kind of gun do you shoot?
I shoot a Glock. Glock 5. Probably going to shoot open gun, maybe. I was supposed to go in next year in open gun, but now...
Slight setback,
yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I've been thinking about open, too, because Matthew and Owen shoot IPSC from a practical standpoint, more like IDPA mindset, close threat, shoot from cover, stuff like that, where I've described myself as an open shooter with a standard gun. I think like an open shooter. I act like an open shooter. I'll cheat like an open shooter. You know what?
I just want to pepper the targets.
Yeah. Well, if I keep saying IPSC is a game, then I'm thinking, you know, I should go to the
top of the game.
Right. And really make it a game, because there's nothing practical about an open gun.
Mm-hmm. So they're starting to have a few person around with open guns there?
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know.
The problem is, Trevor, though, if you do that and veer completely away from the practical side, how is that going to affect the, you know, your defensive mindset and, you know, in the real world? Are you scared you're going to lose some of that?
I am.
Because let's face it, muscle memory is, you know, pretty powerful. And as much as we like to think, oh, well, now I'm shooting, now I'm training defensive, and now I'm playing a game, when bullets start going down range in your direction, you're going to go to whatever your muscle memory is and your training. And let's face it, you're going to shoot, you're going to train a lot more, you're going to train IPSC a lot more than you are going to train defensive pistol.
Yep. And that, along with the price of an open gun, is probably what keeps me away from it. I like IPSC because of the game, but I also like IPSC because it hones my skills as a pistol shooter. And given the opportunity in this country, if I could carry tomorrow, I'd be happy to hand over my credentials from Mag 40 and would start carrying immediately. And if I did have that opportunity, I would never compete with anything other than my carry gun, like a lot of the serious IDPA shooters. So, and we've heard stories of police officers who shoot a lot of IPSC and shoot with guns other than their carry gun and end up getting themselves shot. Well, get themselves shot, but they get, you know, you're right. Muscle memory takes over as opposed to their training from the academy, and bad things happen. There's one story about a guy who used to reload his revolver while practicing off of a barrel. Okay, mm-hmm. He'd have a barrel in front of him, and he would shoot his revolver, and he would reach down and take the speed loaders off of the barrel and reload his revolver that way. He got into a gunfight, and he stood up from behind cover to reload his revolver because he had always reloaded while standing. Mm-hmm. So muscle memory told him to stand up, and he stood up and got shot.
Mm-hmm. I'll do you one better. In the book by David Grossman, he talked about the officers back when they carried revolvers all the time at the range, and this was like academy training, actually. They were shooting the revolver, and then to save having to pick up their brass, instead of dumping it, they would dump it in their hand, put it in their pocket, and then reload. And they kept finding officers that were in shootouts dead with their hands in their pockets.
Putting brass away.
They instead of dumping their brass and going for the reload, they were putting their brass in their pockets before they were going for the reload, and that second or two that it was taking, a few seconds, was getting guys killed.
Yep. So Masada Yub talked a lot about that very thing as well, where he talked about how whenever a cop got killed, nobody discussed it. It was like taboo to talk about how he got killed or what happened. Mm-hmm. And there was a movement among police officers to change that attitude, to change that thought process, so that they could learn from that police officer's mistake. Mm-hmm. And that's what started to develop new training practices and new training protocols. Mm-hmm. Where they analyzed what went wrong and why he got shot.
Yeah.
So that would have been a situation where they, I'm sure after they found cops with their hands in their pockets, that they would have changed that practice pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the same reason when I'm, if I'm doing, you know, practical shooting at the range, I always reload my gun when I'm done. So yeah. If I'm just running my pistol, or if I'm running my AR and pistol, and I'm shooting with my pistol, before that pistol goes back in the holster, new mag. Back in the holster, up comes my, you know, my primary, new mag. Okay, now I'm ready to go.
Case in point, Officer Frank says they never run a cold range. Their firearms are always loaded. And he said, why wouldn't my gun be loaded? If my gun is not loaded, it's a paperweight. Why would I have an unloaded gun on my body? It makes absolutely no sense from a tactical, practical point of view. Also, they're trained now when they draw their firearm to immediately go to a sight picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it difficult in IPSC because you're not allowed to do that anymore. Now, in a local match, we let the officers do whatever they want. We let them shoot the way they were trained to shoot. We let them use their duty gear. We let them use their full capacity magazines. Unfortunately, for the Nationals, they will not be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one match a year. The rest of his matches, he'll shoot you know, as per his training.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his muscle memory will be retained for the rest of the year. Just from one match, I don't think you're going to lose much. I mean, if that was the case, we could go out and train once a year and have our muscle memory for the year be done, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
Save on ammo.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool.
Yeah, no, shooting's not like riding a bike. I mean, you've got to keep these skills up. And I know, just personally, my first few matches back after winter, I'm horrible. I mean, Owen even beat me a few times.
Oh. It's happening more and more frequently.
Yeah, no, Owen's a good shot. But yeah, like I was saying, I mean, Owen practices. I don't practice. To be perfectly honest, I do not practice IPSC. My shooting, like going to the range and doing like participating in matches, that's the only IPSC I ever shoot. I don't practice at my home range. One, it's half an hour from my house. I just don't get out there often enough. Two, my range isn't set up for dynamic shooting. I have to shoot straight down range all the time. I'm not allowed to run around. And three, I just don't have the money for the ammo. So, you know, I know that my shooting skills are not nearly where they should be. But that being said, you know, it's really important for people, if you're going to be successful in this sport, practice. You got to get out there and do this on a regular basis. It, like I said, it's not like riding a bike.
And when it comes to practicing an IPSC, you go to the range and you practice with a purpose. Now, what I mean by that is you have a plan in place of what you're going to do before you arrive and you follow that plan. Otherwise, if you have no direction for your practice, you could be doing more harm than good.
You're just wasting your time, really.
Yeah.
In fact, not even wasting your time. Like Trevor just said, you're being detrimental.
Yeah. And practicing once a week in some cases can be worse than not practicing at all. Because one practice is not really enough to develop any fundamentals or move from conscious skill to subconscious skill or develop muscle memory. Yeah. The last time Jason and I were practicing, we knew what we were going to do before we put our guns on. We set up the range so that we could practice shooting on the move. We had drills set up, you know. And the Matt Burkett, there's a video series from Matt Burkett, and there's also a bunch of practice plans and drills. And I keep those in my range bag. And if I get to the range and I really don't know what to do, I dig one of those out and run that.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I'm doing something structured that's geared towards skill development.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the amazing things, I have an example of this from my sword fighting days. When I was first starting out, there really wasn't many people around in my area. And so I didn't get to practice a whole lot, but I would constantly think about it. I was visualized like crazy what I was going to do and how I was going to move and how my shots were, what they were going to look like and where they were going to land and the whole bit. And then I would, and I did, you know, what we call PEL practice, which is this equivalent of dry firing. And then I would go to an event or a practice somewhere, and people I hadn't fought in 6 months would go, "Whoa, you're getting way better. Where have you been practicing?" I'd be like, I haven't. This is the first time I've been in armor in 6 months. And they were just freaking out like I was some sort of crazy mutant, you know, genius, so fighting genius or something. But it was just, I practiced every single day, but I did it in my head.
Yep. Yeah, you were doing mental preparation. Yeah. And like you said, visualizing, and Trevor's talked about that before, you visualize the perfect sight picture, you visualize your sights on target, you visualize the perfect trigger press. I mean, these things are things that actually will translate from your brain to your body.
Well, your subconscious doesn't know the difference between you visualizing the perfect shot and your body actually experiencing the perfect shot.
That's right. And sometimes it's better because you're not dealing with all the physical downfalls and weaknesses of your body, right? It's your mind, it's perfect every time.
Right. It's also better because you control it and therefore you make it perfect every time.
Exactly. And I can't recommend, so many people think that's, sounds really kind of mystic and weird.
All I can say,
it really does work.
It does work if you trust in it and give it enough time. And actually, believe it or not, mental training requires practice. Visualization requires practice. Controlling your breathing requires practice. You're not going to get visualization on the first try. I remember trying to imagine myself standing on the line, getting ready to shoot an arrow, and picturing everything from my feet all the way up to the release of the arrow without any interruption in my thought process. It did not happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But hugely beneficial. And one of the best books that you can buy, in my opinion, is Lanny Basham's book, Mastering the Mental Game. No, sorry. Lanny Basham's book, With Winning in Mind. And he's a world champion and an Olympian. He won his gold medal in Montreal, actually, in 76. He was a rifle shooter. And they run the mental management system. They've got a website with all kinds of great products for all kinds of different sports. And if you're looking at an easy way to get into mental training for IPSC or trap or whatever sport, that's definitely worth looking into, because it's easy. It's geared towards the competitor who has some skill and is looking for an edge to get better and has a competitive edge. It's not for the recreational person. Don't waste your time. It's for the person who is hungry and is looking for a boost.
So I'm out then, basically, is what you're saying. I need not apply.
You are very much recreational, yes.
Yep. Cool. All right. Any other IPSC stuff we want to toss down here?
I don't think so. Jay?
All right.
No, you just like guns, right?
Yeah, he likes guns. So yeah, you mentioned earlier, Trevor, that Jason's the range master.
No, he's the chief range officer.
Chief range officer. Okay. So, tell us about that. What does that mean? What does that entail? Do you get a raise? That sort of thing.
No, I don't get a raise.
Yeah. Do you get a discount on your membership at least?
Nope. Don't get a discount on my membership.
Jeez. All right. So, what do you get to do?
Well, basically, to check out for the safety on the range, make sure everything's working good. And if there's anything to do, well, I have to find a team to help me out and fix the problem on the range.
So what sort? How long have you been the CRO? Is that what it is?
Yeah, since January.
Okay, and since then, have you encountered any challenges or issues that are interesting that you could talk about?
Well, I was a chief range officer before I was a range officer, so I learned a lot that the
other way around. You were a range officer.
No, I was the chief range officer before I was a range officer.
It's your story. You tell it.
Shut up. Yeah. And then I learned a lot of stuff at the range officer course that we need to fix on the range.
Now, was that the IPSC range officer course RNBRA one?
NBRA.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that was I took that course. Yeah, I took that course with you. That's right.
Yeah, with me and Trevor.
Yeah.
Yeah, we learned a lot of things about range standards, things that should be in place that aren't.
Yep.
We, you know, and I'll be honest, if it wasn't for the Nationals, we'd be getting a lot more done too.
Yeah, just basically right now we're busy a lot.
Yeah, but we're going to come up with things like an emergency action plan for the range.
Mm-hmm.
Because what, in the case of emergency, where the cell phones work, the directions to the range that you could read to the 911 operator, where first aid kits are, making sure the first aid kits are up to snuff, the list of who has first aid, things like that.
Yeah, that's a good bit of information to have available readily for anybody who needs it. Because, I mean, you're not always at the range, Trevor. I know it seems like it, but you're not always there. So sometimes somebody else might need to be the one to be in charge. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Basically, I think the CRO's job is like being the superintendent of an apartment building.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You're responsible to make sure everything is working and everything is up to date.
I was going to say, so you're going to go around putting out fires, but then I thought maybe I better not say that.
Well, I'm not going to put fire
out. Funny.
Well, that's good. All right.
Cool. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say the exact same thing you're about to say. So, well, Owen, why don't you say it?
I think we should move on to listener feedback. Actually, I have one more thing to ask Jason.
Yeah.
Jason, you want some 5.56 brass?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
How much?
I don't know.
Okay. All of it?
I tried to give a bunch to Trevor today, and he jilted me. He said, no way, I don't want any of that. So
I was thinking I should have taken it to give to Jason.
Now Owen's the good guy.
No, I'm going to give it to Jason.
Pay it forward, yeah. Yep. I don't need your brass, but whatever you were going to give me for the 9mm brass, please give to my dear friend Jason.
Well, I was only going to give you 100, but I'll give him like a whole bag full. So,
all right, thank you.
I'll bring it up with me on the weekend.
Actually, I saved a little bit of brass because my tumbler was in my living room and it didn't burn. So,
okay,
full of 223 brass.
Oh, well, there okay. you go. You got a little bit then.
That's the only brass I saved from my house.
Yeah, but in all fairness, your TV melted. I know.
Yeah, the TV melted.
So
yeah.
Temperatures in that living room were kind of high.
Yeah, but the tumbler didn't melt.
No?
Nope.
Oh, then the brass should... What do you guys think? You think that brass is still... wasn't directly touched by flame or anything?
Oh, I don't know. If it can withstand 40,000 PSI in the barrel, I'm pretty sure it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think that... well, I don't know. I'm not a metallurgist, so I may be wrong.
On your Dillon, Trevor, and we'll try it in your AR-15.
Yeah, you go first. I run the camera. We know how this works.
You go first. I run the camera.
Yeah.
It'll be one of those hold my beer and watch this kind of moments.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Matthew, do you want to take this first one since this is from Dave?
Sure. This is from Dave. Dave wrote us last week, and he writes us again. He goes, "Hey, guys, thanks for your feedback on the show. Just to clarify a couple of things, the projectiles are, in fact, copper-plated round nose, not full metal jacket, which is a different manufacturing process." So, yeah, I pretty much messed that up. That was my bad. Sorry, Dave. Also, I'm in agreeance with Matt. My preferred weight is 147 grain 9mm. It was absolutely based on demand at the time, so we decided to start with 124. We'll definitely be making 147 grain soon, so that's good news. Also, he continues, "I will say that there is a very noticeable reduction in the perceived recoil between 124 and 147. I assume that the same will be true with the 40 cal. We appreciate the input on a starting grain for the 40s and are currently deciding between 180 and 200. Thanks again, guys. Great show." And like I said, that comes to us from Dave.
Dave, I'm excited for you. Make both.
They can only start with one, then they go to the other. So.
All right. Who's got the next one? Oh, it's got my name in it. That must mean it's mine.
You?
Yeah. Right. Go.
So this comes from Stan in Ontario. And Stan says, "Hi, guys. Could you please send me the email address for the raffle announced in the last episode? The email address contains... Guns Are Us, or something like that. It would be really helpful if you could post such information in the episode notes and on Facebook. Now, enough complaining and critics. Thank you for the great show and keep up the great work." Okay, so Stan, we will.
I've already sent him an email.
Perfect. For anybody else who's listening who wants to buy tickets on the Daniel Defense,
Trevor will post it on Facebook, right?
The tickets are $10 a piece or 3 for $20, and you can get them by sending an email to guns with a Z, R, us, like in toys, R, us, at nb.simpatico.ca.
And can you post it on Facebook?
I suppose I'll post it on Facebook.
Okay, cool. You are like a social media harlot. Is it social media harlot that we refer to you now?
It's whore.
Oh, it is whore. It's straight out whore still. We're not no harlots here.
No harlots.
No Trevor, the social media lady of the night.
You know, men can be whores too. You don't have to call me a girl.
Well, I don't believe I can differentiate because, well, you know, your beard just isn't enough, man.
You know, my beard is not enough. I'm working on it though. It's getting pretty frosty, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I found a couple of white ones in mine. I'm getting a little nervous here.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Go gray?
I've got either gray or white, one or the other.
And then balder?
And then, well, yeah, I'm going balder for sure.
Not important.
Nope.
Related.
It's just hair.
Nope.
Cool. All right.
So, with that, I think that's pretty much a wrap on the show. Don't
yeah,
forget.
It's kind of a short one this week, but that's all right. I think we had some good info go across there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's remind everyone, okay, not of anything you have written. Oh, yes. Okay, carry on. I didn't think it was there. See, this is why we don't do notes. I just could have set off the cuff. It'd be all natural.
Jeez. Oh, you're something natural.
Go to the charity shoot because we're all going to be there. We can't wait to see our listeners.
Yeah.
Wait. Am I supposed to read the rest of it or not?
Well, at least mention it.
Don't forget to go over, folks, and like us on Facebook. Like us on Likebook, yeah. Like us on Facebook.
Face us on Likebook is what you should
do. Face us on Likebook,
yep.
Yeah. iTunes review, 5-star rating, please.
It really helps us. If you go on iTunes right now, Slamfire is like at the top of the list consistently day to day. It's really, really cool. You guys do that for us.
We have to stay there.
I want to read those. I'd actually like to read those reviews next week, except for 10Xs.
Well, let's not. See, I've actually included one review. I don't think we need to read all the reviews. If listeners want to see them, they can go read them.
Yeah, maybe we'll take the best one. And this, you're right, this is the best one.
That's actually not a bad idea, Trevor. What if we have a contest, and not really a contest, but whoever writes the funniest and or best review of the week, we'll read on the show.
I tell you what, we'll call it a contest, but give you nothing.
There you go. I'm in. I love it.
Your winning will be that we chose your review because it made the most amount of fun of me, and therefore my co-host enjoyed it the most, and we read it.
I believe you coined a new term there, but anyway, we'll continue on.
Which one?
So
I don't know.
Blended is a word.
Blended is a word.
Don't forget to go over and check out all the other shows on the Canadian Relay Radio Network. Join the NFA. CSSA, whatever other local organizations are pro-gun and working for your rights.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're so inclined, if you go to our contact page on our website, which our website is slamfireradio.com, there's code there that you can copy and paste into your online form signature, and it'll actually display our banner at the bottom of your posts online. Yes. So if you wanted to do that, that's how you can do it. It's kind of just a cool way to let people know that you listen to us and hopefully draw some more listeners to discover how they can waste an hour of their time once a week.
Yeah, because we're at 3, and we'd like to get to 5 by the end of the month.
5 what?
Listeners.
Oh, listeners, yes. Right.
Yeah. Set our goals high.
I set our goals high, that's right. Yep. So who wants to read the best iTunes to date? And now, Canadian Claybuster didn't even realize he was in a contest, but he won the first week already. Right. So, Canadian Claybuster, you rock.
He wins the biggest bag of nothing.
The biggest. I am mailing out the biggest bowl of steaming Jack.
I would like to read it, but I'm afraid I wouldn't make it all the way through. So
you're right. You wouldn't. I'll
just it's appropriate.
All right. So, he writes his iTunes date. It was titled "Not Enough Interrupting," and it reads, "If you never want to hear Trevor utter a complete sentence, this is the podcast for you." Yeah.
Claybuster, do you suppose that might be...
It's amazing like how Trevor gets interrupted every time.
Every episode.
Just like that.
Almost every sentence.
I hardly even get a single one out. It's probably...
It's never going to happen, Trevor.
Jason Filt.
You won't win, Trevor.
Give up.
In my mind, I've already won.
You've never won anything.
I've been dry firing at your images all evening.
Oh, very good. I like it. That's funny.
Jerk faces.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening.
I guess so. I actually did want to comment a little bit on our listeners. No? Okay, fine.
I'm out. The listeners are not important to Trevor Matthew.
No,
you have
apparently
to
not. No, I just wanted to say that I've been just kind of tracking our stats just for fun, and it's amazing that we've got, you know, if you think you're listening to us and you're like, who are these guys? Nobody listens to these guys. You're among tens of people who listen to us. You should realize that. I'm kidding. It's actually close to thousands right now. So
Stop bragging.
It's very cool. No, I want to thank the listeners, and there's lots out there, you know. So thank you for tuning in. It's kind of a humbling experience.
Most of your experiences are humbling.
That's true, because often I'm wrong, and Trevor points it out very publicly and makes me cry in front of people.
So,
why did somebody just write 87 in the show notes?
I dropped my gun on the keyboard. That's literally what happened.
That's funny. All right. Well, yeah, I think Owen said it best.
Yes, with that, your mind is a weapon, train it well.
That's the other show. Wrong one.
Show.
Do we need all new catchphrases now or what? Or can I just stop this thing?
I'm not changing mine for love or money.
Oh, okay. I'll love you if you do it, and I'll give you money.
All right, take somebody shooting. Except for Matthew. Don't take him shooting because he hates guns and he's a closet liberal.
Basically, yeah.
So once again, we managed to drag an ending out for no reason other than just the sake of dragging out an ending.
Right. In which case, I should just hang up.
Please do.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.